When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, listeners, it's that time of the year again, and we've got some exciting news to share with you. The Deeply Graphic Design Team will be partnering once again with Adobe Max, the Creative Conference, November 4th through the 6th in Los Angeles, California. Designers from all over the world come to Max to learn from their design heroes, to hear the latest industry trends, and to get inspired to create their best work. Not only will we be there for live interviews and episodes, but the Adobe Max folks have given us a special discount for all the DGDC listeners. Use the promo code P19DGDC. That's P19DGDC to receive your discounted rate. Stay tuned for more information on future episodes, and we can't wait to see you at Adobe Max.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependdesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikkel Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
We've got a great guest this week, so we're going to kind of get on with the show. We're not going to do all the preamble we usually do. We're just going to get right into it. So,
yeah.
Nick, why don't you go ahead and
tell about so, it. Johnny, this is great. So, Johnny is the top innovator in retail, as said by the Boston Globe, America's number one young entrepreneur by Business Week. He's been featured at MTV, Forbes, NPR. Also keynoted, you're a TEDx guy. You're a Disney guy. You've talked at Apple and Howe and all these other places. And I love when you just wrap it up into a nice statement. He's helping others create blueprints for building brand loyalty, creating memorable experiences, and inspiring innovation through his products. So welcome, Johnny Earle, also known as Johnny Cupcakes.
Hey.
Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you.
This
Thank
must
you
feel
guys.
Like such a step down for you.
No, not at all.
Thanks so much, man. We got a chance to meet Johnny at Max last year, and just through back and forths and saying, let's try to find a really good time to get him on the show. This is finally our time, and we couldn't be more happy to have you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, right on.
I think most of our listeners are probably not only followers but know you, but feel free to just give the few people out there that don't know your background a little brief history of what you are, what you're doing, your brand.
Yeah, so I trick hungry people for a living. I own retail stores that look and smell like actual bakeries, except instead of selling baked goods, we sell graphic t-shirts, and we display them inside of refrigerators. I have my stores smell like frosting. I hide vanilla scented car fresheners in the heater vents to make it, smell.
So great.
I love how low tech that approach is. It's great.
Yeah, you
whatever
gotta get scrappy. Exactly.
Totally.
And we package the shirts and pastry boxes. All the t-shirts are super soft, limited edition. Once we sell out, we normally don't make them again. I've been doing this for 19 years full time. It started as a joke when I was 18, 19 years old in a hardcore metal band. I'm selling shirts out of the trunk of my car. And before that, I started 16 businesses before I was 16 years old. I was a magician. I sold glow sticks on the beach instead of fireworks. I sold Tupperware. I sold scarves. I had a pin making business. I sold candy in school. So And for me, it was always the journey, putting a puzzle together. Of course, I would see my parents spend a lot of time commuting to work, and I really wanted to spend more time with the people that I love. So I started all these little businesses, and a lot of them didn't work out, but that's okay because failures are experiments, and experimenting is how we grow. But I eventually started this t-shirt brand as a joke. I had some funny nicknames, Johnny Appleseed, Johnny Come Lately, Johnny Cupcakes. And I put Johnny Cupcakes on a shirt to advertise a bakery that did not even exist. And I wore it to work when I was working at a record shop, Newbury Comics. And all of these slightly miserable customers that never made eye contact with me, they started laughing. And what is Johnny Cupcakes? And where can I get a t-shirt? And before I knew it, I was selling them out of my car while my friends were hanging out with cute girls at parties. I was hanging out with cute old ladies at craft fairs, hustling my t-shirts. And I've always been straight edge. And the more I put into my brand, the more I got back. And that's I think that's how it is. It is important to ask for help and delegate tasks when you need to, but you still have to put in the hours and the time, and that's how it started in a cupcake shell.
Wow, amazing!
But I never studied business. I never studied design. I never studied marketing. I had a hard time learning. I went to a charter school. My parents didn't put me on any drugs or anything. They put me in this project-based charter school, and it completely changed my life. I took smaller classrooms, hands-on learning, and instead of learning about writing the traditional way, we had a class called Scary Stories, and you would write scary stories, and it made you want to learn. And at the end of the year, we'd go camping and tell our stories by a fire. And but anyhow, my wacky journey brought me to where I am now, and it's turned into a multi-million-dollar t-shirt brand. We don't sell to stores. Retail is a scary business. It's almost a suicide mission. It changes every day. But if you have that personality where you like to put puzzles together, you have a new thing to do every hour, every day. And you can fall in love with it. And I have fallen in love with it. There's been days where I've made $36 in one day. There's been days where we've, done really well. We've had projects or deals where we've, made more than $500,000 in one day. Those are few and far between. Some of those are once in a blue moon type things. But I want everybody to know that it is the terrible days that inspire the ideas for the big projects. Anytime we make a mistake or we have a terrible day, it inspires myself and my team to think differently and to think strategically and to get scrappy. And hey, we can't hire a big company to make our store smell like frosting. Let's go to Bed Bath and Beyond and buy some French vanilla car freshener.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, before we get back to the show, I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Skillshare. I love these guys. They're an online learning community with thousands of classes for creators, entrepreneurs, and curious people everywhere just like you. You know, you listen to this show, that tells me you want to keep learning, to keep furthering your career, and Skillshare is going to help you do just that. You can take classes in illustration, graphic design, UI, UX design, freelancing, business ownership, all that good stuff that's going to keep you plugging along and advancing and making more money in the long run. So whether you're picking up a new skill for your day job, figuring out your next side project, or pursuing a longtime passion, Skillshare's got classes for you. And since we're talking about freelance today in the show, I found a few things right here. One's called Boost Your Creative Freelance Career with Personal Projects. How cool is that? And then another one is called Pricing Your Work and Negotiating with Clients. These are all things that we as freelancers and business owners need to know about. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today, and I'm one of them, with a special offer just for our listeners so you can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering our listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. So to sign up for that, just go to skillshare.com/deepend. Again, go to skillshare.com/deepend to start your 2 months now. That's skillshare.com/deepend. Now back to the show.
When we were trying to think of the right topic with you involved, I think this brand loyalty thing was such a strong thing to kind of, wrap our episode around, because in looking at what you've done over the, you know, your career and seeing how fanatic and diehard your customers are, you've done a great job with it. I figure who better to talk about that and give maybe our listeners some tips. We're going to kind of break it up two ways and start with what our listeners can do to be more, to get more loyalty from our clients. You know, so even, you know, that I kind of gave Johnny a really good kind of look at like our audience being young designers, starting their own firm, small design agencies or freelancers. So where do you want to start? I mean, what kind of tips can they do to help cultivate loyal clients of their own, small designers that are trying everything out there?
That's a great question. So as I mentioned, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I am just not afraid to mess up. Good. So I keep trying things.
Yeah.
And what I've learned, you know, we have, there's thousands of customers that have Johnny Cupcakes logos. There's, and I'm on both sides of it too. I'm trying to build brand loyalty. But there's times where I want to reach out to new customers or new clients in a crowded digital diarrhea email box where we're all getting these, where people are using and abusing CRM software and they're saying, hey, Johnny, I love your cupcakes. And then they copy and paste this entire message. And it's like, you son of a gun, we don't sell real cupcakes. You just lied to me.
So nice try, right?
Yeah, exactly. So don't, number one, don't be that person.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to cut and paste an email. You just have to be human. You have to be human. And I would say put on your own events where people are coming to you. Instead of trying to reach out to so many people, why not rent out? Like I've rented out a I was going to give a talk in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was a private event for a client of mine out there, and it was not open to my own customers. So what I did was I stayed there an extra day. I rented out the Phoenix Art Museum. It was like $800 more or less on a weeknight.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold tickets through Eventbrite, and I wanted the challenge of getting new people there before my own customers. So I was in the stance of the position of somebody that I wanted to be in the position of somebody that didn't know anybody there. Even though we do have so many customers there, I wanted new people to learn about the brand first. So I spent, I spent a week reaching out to design agencies, ad agencies, communication agencies. I looked up, there's always articles out there on the top innovative companies of 2019 or 2020, whatever you want to look up. And those companies, I think, in my opinion, are more apt to go on a field trip or to listen to an independent brand or a designer or person. But I ended up selling out the Phoenix Art Museum.
Wow.
And it was a successful night. And then we sold merchandise and it was great. It was unbelievable. And I've done that in San Francisco. I've done that in London. But some other things that you can do, try to avoid email. Do email last, just as an experiment.
I like that.
Again, I get emails all the time, but if somebody sends me a handwritten note or something that's in a unique package, I'm definitely going to see that. I can't promise I'm going to see my email.
Hmm.
Especially what's hurt a lot of people is Gmail, which most people use. A few years back, they launched a promotions tab that pre-sorts your email.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even if you want an email from Johnny Cupcakes and you sign up for my email list, there are some people who don't see those emails.
Yeah.
Even though they signed up for it.
Yeah.
So I collect vintage typewriters. I own 22 of them. My wife only knows about 20 of them.
Let me guess, those two are the most expensive, right?
No, I'm they're not, but I said I'd stop at 20. So I keep some in my car, some at home, some at the office.
Nice.
But anyhow, I have fallen in love with typing. There's no backspace, so you use your words yeah. with so much more color. Yeah. You don't need Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I've brought it to the park. I've been kicked out of a couple coffee shops for being too loud.
Yeah.
You know what? You and Tom Hanks have this in common. Did you know that?
I do.
He's obsessed.
Yep. I am obsessed as well.
That's
and
cool.
There is a bookstore, Trident Bookstore on Newbury Street, that has embraced my typing. So they let
awesome.
Me bring my clunky word machines there. But you also get lost in the sound and the smell, and you are one with the page. But anyhow, I've sent hand-typed letters to clients and to customers, to strangers. For instance, around Halloween, I'll type on the back of vintage educational skeleton charts. And I will package my letters in black envelopes with a black wax seal with the Johnny Cupcakes logo on it. I'll use postage stamps from way back when, because you could still use them as long as they're not already used. So I'll put a Alfred Hitchcock stamp next to a bunch of bird stamps. I'll put a Give Blood stamp next to a Dracula stamp. And it gives me peace and mental clarity, because I'm doing arts and crafts. And instead of sending an email blast to thousands of people, I'm sending out 10 or 20 or 30 letters, and that's more of an impact than the emails, because even if they're going to throw away my letters, they have to open it and they have to walk to the trash. With email, they might not even see it.
Yeah.
And if they like my letters or my packaging, whatever it is that I'm sending them, they might even bring it to the rest of the company and show it around at a meeting. And you can't really do that as well with an email or with a PDF. So I'm a big believer of tangible things. I do not think print is dead. I think if you have good design, good humor, unorthodox approaches, you can get people's attention, and you can make it fun. I've done this around... I love Halloween. Again, around Halloween, we did pop-up shops in different cities, and we set the pop-up shops up to look like haunted houses, and we would scare our customers and, you know, sold Halloween-themed t-shirts. So I experimented with direct mail. Direct mail is an old-school approach. It's half the junk mail that you throw away, but you can also do direct mail with your own customers, with your own... CSV file of addresses from people who've purchased from you. So I sent out, you know, cards, and I had them look like tickets, and I had them say admit 5 on them. So people didn't think they were being advertised to. They were so excited to be invited to something.
There you go.
And since they looked like old school movie theater tickets that said admit 5, they felt like they could fill their car up with buddies and go to the Johnny Cupcakes Halloween pop-up shop and make a night out of it. And we had some of our biggest turnouts at those events.
That's great. I love that.
That's really cool. I love that. So, like, what are some of the specific advantages that you think our listeners can deliver to their clients that'll really, you know, kind of get this brand loyalty going for them?
For sure, for sure. So going back to the handwritten notes, a couple years back, I took 2 weeks off from work to work.
And, there's a thought.
I took 2 weeks off from work to work. And what I did is I exported my top spending customers.
Mm-hmm.
I exported the customers who've been with me the longest.
Okay.
And I also exported just a few random customers to put in the mix. And I spent 2 weeks writing handwritten letters to customers.
Wow.
And I didn't just say, thank you, Johnny Cupcakes. I said, oh my God, you're from Long Island. That's where my wife's from. Mm-hmm. People say coffee funny.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, like, one of my favorite bands, Glassjaw, is from Long Island, and so is Busta Rhymes. And if you take the train at night, you might slip on puke, because people love to party. But they're super loyal people, and they have the best delis in the world. Anyways,
wow.
Thank you so much for the support.
Yeah.
My family and I appreciate your business.
Like you're sitting on the same couch having a conversation.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get I'm going to get fluorescent envelopes. I'm going to get Batman postage stamps. I'm going to make them feel like they're getting punched in the face with the celebration of, hey, it's your birthday, or hey, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And we have customers that love the brand, but we have some customers that just don't want other people to know about it. It's like when you don't want your favorite band to get bigger.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
Okay,
it's kind of a weird scenario, but I get it.
I get it too. But you mentioned Batman stickers, which is interesting, and you brought up some other material, which is not all Johnny Cupcake branded. So you're going outside of the limits, not to just strictly showcase and annoy people in case, you know, they get tired of the visual sales pitch constantly.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
And we did have one of those diehard customers post online. He said, I don't care if Johnny Cupcake sells out to Walmart. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a customer for life.
Mm.
Wow. Thank you so much, Johnny.
Aww.
Ultimate
and he posted, and he posted the letter that I sent him.
Jeez.
And it, you know, little things like that. Or when we have an event or events, my sister and I and sometimes my mom will hand out ice cream or brown bag lunches to the customers who are waiting in line or camping out for t-shirts.
Yeah.
Just thinking that if you want customer loyalty, you just have to be loyal to your customers, and it's however way you want to do it. I've found events build a community of customers around you. They cannot understand your personality or sense of humor if you're just hawking things at them digitally. So going out to farmers markets, selling your products, meeting people, networking at, there's different chapters of different events in other cities. There's event listings. There's websites like Eventbrite. There's young entrepreneur things, there's networking on LinkedIn, but just meet people in real life, and that's where the magic happens. Get coffee with some of your LinkedIn connections. Don't just collect people's contacts, but actually go out and meet them.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, let's all just be completely realistic about some of these instances. You know, when we're starting off or we're just getting our feet wet, we don't always have the money to deliver these types of ideas. I mean, we mentioned Bed Bath & Beyond at the start of the show, and that was kind of a ha-ha funny, but it does truly work. A lot of people, I mean, I hear Dax with Armchair Expert. I listen to his podcast every now and again, and his wife to decorate his attic area where he has all these special guests. She's constantly making trips to Michael's. I mean, the look doesn't have to be expensive, but then on the other hand, there's these budget constraints too, where people want to make an impression and have that loyalty and embark on those actions to really make a difference, but it takes money to make this work. So what are the answers there? How do you I mean, sure, you know, everybody says, oh, you just got to get creative. Well, Not all of us have those.
I'm a creative on a budget.
right. We're all on a budget.
I can be so much more creative with money.
Until we make $250,000 in a day, how do you get creative on a budget? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had days where I've lost $650,000 in a day. I've had days where I've sacrificed my house to get money from the bank to make ovens that don't even cook anything because I want to work with the same company that builds Jeff Koons balloon animal sculptures, and I had to build a destination spot for my store. So, I've been there.
Willing to take a risk, for sure.
Willing to take a risk, being okay with failing, knowing that failures are valuable because, again, they're experiments, and that's how we collect data and make better decisions.
But in full disclosure, did you always have a plan B in case the first, you know, option A fucked up?
No, I just kind of roll with the seat of my pants. I mean, it wasn't until I married an auditor until I started thinking like I should think. I'm just a creative person.
Talk
I got
about,
a person with creative ideas.
Balance and partnership, holy.
Oh, it is the best. So I've trust everybody and think everybody has the best intentions, but my wife doesn't care about other people's opinions, and she wants to protect her close circle of people. And she's like, who is that employee and why do you pay them that much? And how do you know they're doing that? And she asked me very tough questions. She turns down 99.9% of my ideas. And at first I'm like, why can't you just love me? But then, you know, a day or two will go by and I'm like, oh my God, this is the only person that loves me to the scale that she would be that truthful and transparent.
Yeah, right. So, and scared for you. Right.
And scared mm-hmm. for me. Yeah, yeah. So, no, I didn't always have a plan B. I've always had a magic bag of ideas and you know, loosely written post-it notes and receipts with ideas on them in my clumps of pocket stuff that I transfer from pants to pants, but mm-hmm. nothing huge. So some things that have helped me, taking pre-orders. That's a great way to take a calculated risk. I've done them before anyone knew or cared about me. I did them when I was going to the charter school, and I had an idea to make the school's first yearbook because it was a startup charter school.
Wow.
And I took my personal scrapbook, and I got about 100 pre-orders at $20 each. So in eighth grade, I made $2,000, a $1,500 profit. And I, nice. When I went to go pay for them, I was using other people's money, and it cost me $500. And then the next year, the charter school made their own yearbook, and I had to come up with another job. So you can do that with shirts, too. Like, there's times where we're a family-run brand, and I mess up. I still fail every day. So if I mess up a few times and our cash flow is depleted, then we have to get crafty. So we've... Mm-hmm. We've still done pre-orders to this day, and if you get you get 30 pre-orders or 300 or 1,000 pre-orders for a poster you made or a t-shirt or whatever it is that you might be working on, and if you only get two or three pre-orders and it doesn't make sense to make that item, you can just refund those people and start over. Or you could use a clever website like Kickstarter or Indiegogo and make a video with some things, you know, help get some help from some friends to make a okay looking video and put yourself out there. So that's something that you can do on a budget. Another thing I would say is it's tough. Like don't do everything for free, but if people are having a hard time trusting you and respecting your work because you're brand new to whatever it is you're doing, if you're a photographer, donate your services for free to 5 to 10 people in 5 to 10 different types of businesses. Go shoot photos for a school. Go shoot headshots for a corporate office. Go shoot food at a restaurant. Nice. Go shoot for an apparel brand. And all you want to do in return is ask for a testimonial. Get a testimonial on LinkedIn so that all of their people will see that they trust you, and put those testimonials on your website. And I promise you, you will get more business. And
you can
tell the world how great of a designer or artist or photographer or whatever it is you do. You can tell everyone how great you are, but
not until
people
you
would
show
rather
it.
Trust.
Right.
You have to show it, and people would rather trust other people's words. Even myself, I have, a few years back when I redesigned my store in Newbury Street in Boston, we added testimonials in the windows because why is someone going to walk up the stairs to my store, even if they think we sell food and there's bakeries everywhere? Like, we still need to get people to walk in the door. So we have some quotes on the windows, and it has helped people become curious and it has gotten them into the shop.
Mm.
So I think that's something that new designers and old designers can do, is collect those testimonials from people you have worked with. And if you don't have a big Rolodex of people to reach out to, I would offer your service for free to 5 to 10 people just to build up trust, because testimonials do attract trust, and nice words are in a sense currency, and it will get people to want to learn more.
I like that you put it, go to different industries too. Like, if you're picking those 5 to 10 people, because that just blankets your network even more into so many different circles. And that's a smart tip, you know?
It is, because it does do that, because, you know, I see a lot of designers doing the same thing or designing for the same companies or trying to, trying to do a workshop at the same events. And there's a few things that happen. Is one, everyone's trying to do the same thing. Two, you're only going to get work from the same type of people based on the same type of work that you put out there.
Yeah.
And the other thing is in the, just sometimes people can be tricky in the design industry. I've seen a lot of designers get taken advantage of mm-hmm. at events mm-hmm. and conferences mm-hmm. Because a few designers will decide to speak at an event for free mm-hmm. to get exposure.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
And then the people who run that event now will decide, hey, we're not going to pay anybody because we know we'll always have someone that will do it for free. Oh. And they'll start using exposure as a selling point, even though they're selling Dang. Tickets that are very high price and they have 45 sponsors that are paying top dollar. And it's really hurting other designers that should be getting paid for their time and their expertise.
Yeah.
But that's why you can set up your own events, build your own community. You can, and it's okay to say no too. And it's something that I've learned to do over the years is just try to find out whatever it means, whatever my worth is in this obscure space, but also just learn to say no to things. You don't have to accept every offer that comes through and yeah, you just don't have to do that.
Right. Got it.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea of like having, and I've seen it in so many of your posts and this idea of like a diehard fan, right? The guy or girl that is just living and breathing your brand is such an advocate for it. Have there been certain things that maybe have you see spark or make that connection that you have done, particularly maybe even in design or some detail of your product that you said, this hopefully can gravitate somebody and really make them say, I love this brand?
Yeah, I would say it's the, again, it goes back to transparency and being, just being human. You know, if you scroll through my Instagram, I'm posting some products, but more often than not, I'm posting about my family or I'm sharing a recipe or everyone's curious. And they mm-hmm. when they know that you're human too and you're not this cold corporate entity, mm-hmm. which, you know,
true.
It sometimes looks cool when you're trying to get cold corporate companies to work with you. But, you know, if I had to choose between 300 companies that were all selling refrigerators and I wanted to buy a refrigerator to display t-shirts into my store, all of those companies sold the same exact product. But if one of those companies told me that they were a family-run brand, or if mm-hmm. they showed a photo of themselves on their bio when they were 12 years old with a bad haircut, I would smile if I knew what their first concert was. Like my first concert was TLC, Boys to Men, and Montel Jordan. And
yes,
it does not change the quality of my product or anything, but it makes you smile and you're like, okay, this is a person too, and he's gone to some cool or embarrassing concerts. And just
there's
show yourself.
There's nothing embarrassing about that.
I mean, don't go chasing waterfalls. Yeah.
I try. but I'm serious. I think we should all share more of our personal history because that is your brand DNA, and that is something that nobody can duplicate from you.
Yeah.
People can go around and try to steal your clients, your customers. People can copy your style. They can even, you know, rip off the exact products you're doing. But if you can build relationships and also be transparent and just share your journey, your history, nobody can take your identity. Nobody can take your photos of your bad haircut when you were 8 or 12 years old, but that stuff counts. You go to IKEA, you walk around, you'll see, you know, stories about the owner and his old Volkswagen or Volvo, where he would stack his furniture on the top of his car. And stories sell, and they create dialogue, and they add value to anything that you do. you shouldn't push what you do as much as who you are, because who you are is what's going to make you stand out, not what you do. Because what you do has been done before, and there's plenty of other people doing the same thing that are contacting the same companies, but they might not be pushing their story versus
true.
Hire me. I'll make some, you know, a logo for you.
Right.
Yeah. So you've definitely got a ton of diehard fans. Like, I've, you know, been looking at your stuff and your social media and everything. So how do you show appreciation to those fans to kind of keep them around in that capacity? Because I think that's, you know, when this day and age, like, people come and go, but you want to make sure you stay on top of people's minds. So how do you show appreciation for those fans?
Well, I guess other than those typed letters, right? That's a huge one.
Well, showing up at events and, you know,
greeting everyone.
Yeah. I have, you know, and going back to your other question, what gets these customers to appreciate the brand and to turn into a customer? How do you get a random person to be curious? To give you a little example, around Halloween, we have released Halloween themed t-shirts. We've made up movie titles for movies that don't exist, like Count Spatula or Robot Ovens from Mars. And we will make movie trailers. We've made movie trailers for movies that don't exist just to put them on YouTube to build hype and excitement for this t-shirt release and event. We have decided to release the shirts at nighttime and close my store during the day. So you have to go in the dark to buy a scary shirt.
Nice.
My team and I, we've packaged the t-shirts in VHS tapes to go along with the movie theme. So you get a collectible with your shirt. Cool. Rented out a popcorn machine, had the employees dress as movie theater attendees, set the shop up like a haunted house, showed movies in the windows, and I've gone as far as renting out a real hearse and a real coffin from a creepy guy on Craigslist for $220. And I would personally get delivered in a hearse and a coffin when the doors open to my t-shirt release. Now, that $220 or $250 for the hearse and the coffin, that has gotten me hundreds of thousands of dollars of free press.
Wow.
Because Channel 7 News, their job is to write about interesting things and report on interesting things. And they showed up and they wanted to find out why there's a hearse and a coffin in front of a bakery that doesn't sell real food and what's going on. No,
it's better than the alternate headline. How did Johnny Cupcakes go missing after a Craigslist encounter?
Well, that's one way to go out. It was definitely scary and weird, but people still talk about it to this day. We've sold ice cream themed shirts out of ice cream trucks packaged in ice cream containers, and you get free ice cream with your products. We've sold breakfast themed t-shirt designs that you can only buy during breakfast hours. And if you make it to my store in the morning, you will be greeted with real breakfast as well to go along
Very
with the
cool.
breakfast themed shirt.
Yeah.
We've done shirts with secret messages inside. We just did a Chucky inspired t-shirt design that came packaged inside of a doll box. We could go on and on, but it's taking something ordinary, making it extraordinary, and not stopping at one or two things, because people have one or too many options and you got to get a stranger to be curious.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get right back to the show. But before we get there, I want to talk about my friends over at FreshBooks. You've heard about them on the show before. It's because we all love them and we've been using them for years and years. So basically, in a nutshell, FreshBooks makes ridiculously easy to use cloud accounting software for, you know, creative agencies and freelancers alike. It's going to help you work smarter, get organized, and most importantly, get you paid quickly. A few things I really like best about FreshBooks. First of all, it's quick. You know, you can get it set up within 30 seconds. The other thing I love is it really makes you look professional with very little effort on your part. All you really have to do is upload your logo, your colors, add a client. And before you know it, you're sending these really professional looking invoices that make you look like you're running a real business, because I know you are. You don't want those, you know, janky Google Docs that you find online and you kind of retrofit to make look like a real invoice. No more of that. There's no excuses. With FreshBooks, they've got multi-currency invoicing, so you can bill people in just about any country and it converts the currencies over. And they also send automated late payment reminders. So it helps you avoid having that awkward talk with your client about past due payments. You know, when they automate the late payment email reminders, you can spend less time chasing payments and more time working your creative magic. So, and also the support is amazing. So we've worked out a free 30-day unrestricted trial. So what you're going to do is go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, for 30 free days, go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, now back to the show.
I hate to flip the script, and I know your job is to ask me things, but I'm curious what you guys have been doing lately or what you've been struggling with, and if there's anything that I can give you some ideas for to help you with your,
sure,
your work.
I mean, gosh, I think a lot of times too, it's the going from a one-person business to more than a one-person has always been probably a hard thing. And then you wonder, do you want to do it? You know what I mean? It's like, and I see so many great examples of growth in business, and that's what we're expected to do and be. But that's a hard hurdle, you know, making that
yeah.
leap.
I'll give you my 2 cents on that. My what would Johnny do?
Yeah. got my bracelet on.
Yeah. I've at one point I had 40 employees, 5 stores, and the thing that I built for freedom felt like a prison that I built around myself, and I was not happy for a while.
Yeah.
And my costs got really high. There were some years where we made millions of dollars, but it cost us more than millions of dollars to make millions of dollars. So it, you know,
yeah.
sometimes it's a lot. And then when you care, you bring these worries home, and
you're
the most valuable real estate you have is in your brain. And if that's taken up your family time, it's not worth it. There's this hustle culture that's promoted, and it's promoted every day. And it makes me sick, because while hustling is important to get something off the ground, you can't forget spending time with your family and friends and making traditions, because when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be wishing that you had a bigger team or worked more. And
totally.
And I know you want to challenge yourself and see how big it can get. And it's weird. It's like half of it's a game. Half of it's to prove to yourself that you're worth more than this, and that you're that you can do it,
yep.
you know, that you can be more. But it can get tricky, because
yeah.
it as you get older and as people in your family get sick, like my last October my mom was in Barbados with her friend on a vacation, and the last day they were walking on a crosswalk, and they got struck by a vehicle. A car stopped, but another car rushed around them. My mom's friend died on the scene. My mom was in a coma for months, and my sister and I had to mentally prepare ourselves for potentially not, didn't know if our mom was going to be around, or if she'd come out of that coma, or if she'd remember us. And in an instant, even though I work with my mom and I see my mom more than most people, instantly, I regretted any second that I spent outside of this state, and I would have given my left arm to get more time back to be with my mom. My mom is on the road to recovery.
Oh, thank God!
Thank goodness, and you know, she's just working on gaining weight, and you know, but she is still the same person we remember, with a great personality and sense of humor. So we're very thankful, but just not to take a turn for the worse here, I just want to let people know that.
But it's perspective. It's perspective, man.
It
I
is.
Think you nailed
yeah.
it. And you said, too, it's like that what used to be the freedom in your head has turned to almost like that prison. And I think comparisons and things like that, every student I talk to, every designer I talk to, and because of social media and everything else, there's always that, like, you're comparing yourself to everyone now.
It's sick. It's sick. You wake up and you, the first thing you do, because you want to, the only thing you could do, you don't have coffee next to your bed, mm-hmm. so you're opening your phone.
Yeah.
I do.
And
I have coffee.
And you sit there. You sit there. A lot of people will sit there for 35 minutes or so, and they'll flip through. And we're doing three things. One, we're hurting our eyes, and two, we're adding information in our head before we can even get our own clarity of what we want to do for the day. And three, we're comparing ourselves to what everyone else is doing, and not in a sense like, you know, we're not saying no one's a jealous person, but you just feel a little bit less productive when you spent the first part of your day looking at all the highlight reels of people's lives.
Right.
And then what? And you go take a shower and you're like, okay,
where do I start?
I am worthless.
I'm already behind.
This person's in the Bahamas swimming with real pigs. This person just got promoted, you know, no one's sharing the bad stuff, but, I've had my brand for 19 years and I've experienced the extreme highs and the extreme lows. And right now in my life, I just want more time. Now another tricky thing's happened. Okay, so I got to a point where I had all these people, places, and things, and it was hurting and it was tough. And I wasn't brave enough to let go of employees. I made up excuses. Maybe this next collaboration with G-Shock watches is going to be the thing that does it. Mm-hmm. Maybe this. And I made up jobs for people that never existed before.
Ultimatums over and over.
Yep. I kept doing it. And I put off the decision of letting people go for 3 years. Even though I was professionally advised to let people go.
That's tough.
And
well,
I
you're a people person, though, too. That makes complete sense.
I am. And that's...
and I'm sure your wife really had a hard time with this.
She did. And she loves people, but she...
but that audit mind, like, business smarts. Yeah, sure.
She loves things that make sense. She loves competent people, and she loves, she loves when things work. She doesn't... And she really values her time, and that's something that she's taught me. I was a person that was always, scrambling around or running behind, and
right.
You know, I just. But anyways,
bigger and better is always on the horizon.
Yeah, bigger and better, and I made that decision, and I let go. I let go 7 people in my office of 12, and I was crying, and my mom and my sister were there with me, and they were having a hard time,
They become family.
Ate us up.
Yeah.
And I had to let go of my own cousin, who's still not talking to me. And it kills me.
Oh, wow.
Kills me. He's not thinking about the 5 years that I employed him. He's thinking about the 5 minutes that I had to let people go.
Right.
Or else I wouldn't have a company. And this company wasn't built to give, you know, everybody else a job. It was built for me to spend more time with my immediate family, and
Which
I needed
challenge.
To take care of them first.
And
but
we
I will
all
tell
have
you,
that. It's crazy.
Yeah. We do.
It's one thing too. Like,
go ahead, Wes.
I have a sister who's a graphic designer. She's been on the show before, and I struggle because sometimes I want to give her some work, or I think about hiring someone who's in my family to do a specific job. But then I come back around and I think I never want to hire anybody that I can't fire if I have to.
Yeah, because that's true.
You know, then they know you can't fire them. So it's like, they probably won't be doing the best possible job.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need to know that.
That's true.
You know, I need that emotion taken out of it.
Mm-hmm. Working with, it's different for everyone's families. Like my sister and my family's great, but we've had some struggles too. We've had sometimes when we hang out, we talk about work more than life and we need to hit
inevitable.
The reset button.
Yep.
But I, when I, let go 7 people in my office of 12, within 24 hours, we became 10 times as productive. We had meetings for things that we didn't need to have meetings for.
Yeah,
we
had, totally.
I got a space because, you know, this whole big office, open floor concept, giant windows thing seemed like the way of the future, and it hurt us. And I found out that a lot of my employees at the time were doing work for other clients under this roof that I couldn't even afford, but I did it for them.
Yeah.
So I figured out that you can be just as successful without all the people, places, and things. And even with design work, you know, I work with a lot of freelancers. And what's great about it is they get to be the best themselves that they can be, because they can go work at a coffee shop. They don't have to go to the same place every day and be expected to be creative. They can be a stay-at-home mom or dad. They can have that flexibility. And then for me, I don't have to pay for a bigger office. Right. I don't have to pay for health insurance. I don't have to fire anybody, because they're working on a per project basis, and it's good. So yeah, to your point, Wes, I agree. I know that emotional feeling that you don't ever want to have to let anyone go. Like, I never want more employees. I really don't. Some days I want to, you know, grow my brand a little bit, but geez, there's nothing better than a small brand that packs a punch is where it's at.
Well, and you definitely have the benefit of knowing what, you know, you've done. You've measured the two. You've been there to know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes those, like you've said throughout this show, failures here and there to understand what works the best. What's the most beneficial? I wish so badly that this show was broken into two segments, because we're talking so much about quality of life, and we definitely should probably come up on another episode where we do discuss that. But the three of us really try to hone in on just speaking to the quality of life versus that's a designated show in and of itself with our listeners, because you're right, it's not all about, you know, the workaholic fame. There's no such thing to us.
And we're in control of it.
We are.
I think sometimes we lose the perspective that as business owners or small independent contractors or whatever, like you said, Johnny, that freedom of being able to choose and do who we want to work with, what we want to do. So that quality of life thing is in our control, you know?
It is.
And I think we got to know that our hands on that wheel, and what does it take? You know,
and isn't it interesting? You become so, the first reaction to a potential scenario is to become scared and afraid, or what if I don't get any more work? Well, oh my gosh, my partner and I just had our second child, and I was worried with new clientele and new accounts that I was landing. Like, oh my gosh, if they find out and I show up at this meeting with a big belly, are they going to say congratulations? And in the back of their mind going, what the fuck? I mean, how are we going to be, we just initiated and established this relationship, and now we know that we can't move it forward, you know? And
I am with you.
It's interesting.
I'm about to break down and you start to share that.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, you start to share, like, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to hear some cooing in the back of this. I just have a 3-week-year-old, and all of a sudden the conversation shifts. Oh, my God, I had no idea. Thank you so much for telling me. Yeah. You know, a little bit goes a long way.
They do. And that brings it back to being transparent, because no one's perfect. No one has it figured out. Everyone's balancing the chaos.
Yep.
My wife and I are adopting. We just got matched with twin girls from South Korea.
Amazing.
And I could get a call in 5 minutes or 5 months, and we are just,
can't tell. Oh my gosh. That's just nerve wracking and crazy exciting all at once.
But we're so excited. We're so lucky. And I am more than ever learning to say no. And I I'm getting offers that I never in my life would have thought I'd receive in places very far away, though. And I have to say no. And even though it's a lot, I just want to be home with my family. And I cannot let these opportunities like take control of my time. There's got to be a way to figure it out. Right. There's got to be a way to have more clients closer to home in places that get you back home the same time to tuck in your kids for bed.
Absolutely.
And I
collaborate with developers, for example, that will say, heads up, sorry, this weekend or Friday. It's family day. Hope you understand. And it just embarks on this amazing exchange from that point on. It's like, I'm so glad you said something. I have the utmost respect for what you just gave me a heads up for.
Yeah.
And it makes a human relationship with that client. Like, you might have had a very business relationship with that client. And the minute you do drop that personal thing, it's almost like, oh, I forgot, we're human here, right? Yeah. Everyone needs a break, and I totally agree. Right. Yeah.
And I've had, from saying that and having that fear that they wouldn't want to do business with me because I'm saying no, it's turned into more opportunities, surprisingly, like, or more convenient ones, like, hey, maybe instead we can still Skype with you with our team and you could give us creative ideas.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
And I get to be at home in my sweatpants and give other people ideas. So I've been doing that with big companies and also small brands, just doing that what would Johnny do, and just trying to figure it out. But yeah, Nick, I to your point, I know what you're saying. Like, just the other day, Nick and I were talking and I was like, man, I don't know if I could make the podcast. I just had an opportunity come up for a potential space in New York City and I think I should go check it out. But I sat down and I had dinner and I talked to my family and I said, you know what? I need to think about this more because I am so at peace with myself right now. I don't need that. That would be cool, but I don't need that.
Do you think it was more like going with your gut? Hmm. You just felt you had to have that conversation?
Yeah, it was going with my gut and just talking out loud and talking to other people. And who knows? Maybe something better will come up at a better price or a better time. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to write a book right now. I'm trying to do more local creative consulting. I'm trying to get ready to be a dad. So there's a lot of more important things right now than I think opening a retail store, unless somebody can absolutely prove to me that it will not that they can run with it without having to take up time, space, in my mind, because I need to focus on some other life things right now. Do you guys do you guys have any other things that you're struggling with?
You are the first guest that we have had on this show has shifted the script to ask us some questions, and you need to know that.
We appreciate that.
You need to know that.
That's really cool, dude.
Well, it's not about me. I want to.
And following the show, really we're all going to expect that typed letter. So,
yeah,
I can't. And I'm going to buy a typewriter tonight. I'm getting the typewriter, dude.
I would after the show. Well, two things. A few things. One, I'd love to get all of your addresses and T-shirt sizes so I can send you something.
This is awesome. Thank you.
If you want to rock that book. I appreciate that. I don't know what you have going on right now, but if you want to cut the podcast off now and keep talking about quality of life, we can. If not, we can do that another time.
Can I ask you a quick question? I know we're kind of going off tangents, but whatever. It's organic and it feels fine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That T-shirt that you had, I couldn't tell if it was a joke or if it was just a great closing to one of your events that you spoke at generate a T-shirt of a review that was just kind of dissing you. Did you wind up doing that?
Yeah. It's on our production schedule.
Oh, my God.
We'll be making,
the one-star review, that was great.
Yeah, I'm going to put a one-star review.
There's no
cupcakes
there.
You have to take other people's negativity and turn it into
You know what?
Motivation.
Exactly what you did.
I would be curious. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you've ever thought about running a survey. You know what? Knowing your brain now, you probably have already done this. Taken a survey of those that have visited your shop and gotten all, you know, candied up with their senses, with the smells when they walk in their shop and can't do anything other than visit a bakery, following your store when they purchase something or to have it at a visit.
I got to have a fix.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've caught on to this, but I've actually thought about opening a real bakery and calling it Johnny's T-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I like it. Yeah.
Yes.
And doing that, having that across the street. But yeah, I
agent of chaos, Johnny. I love it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I never studied any of this. I don't know what I'm doing. It's not just me. I work with a lot. I collaborate with a lot of different people. So all you need is an idea and the willingness to try new things and to not give up. And, you know, if I can do this with something as weird as cupcakes on t-shirts and make it last for 19 years, I think anybody listening, no matter what stage you are at your business, you can do some cool things. And,
yeah.
And if they don't work out at first, you know, like I said, I had 16 businesses first and they all didn't work out, but they led me to where I am today. And you just have to embrace the ups and downs of every part of that journey.
Given That's your so sex cool. successes with your shop to date, have you tried or successfully incorporated any of those former 16 businesses that did fail, but there was a way to kind of merge it?
Fuse it in.
Yeah. That's a great question. So two things. One is magic. I still do magic every day, and I like to entertain customers when they're waiting in line at my events. Every day I'm doing magic tricks. I'm not paid professional magician, but I still I still practice. And the other thing that I do, so I sold Tupperware at one point. I was at a grocery store and this really cute old lady came up to me and she said, "Hey, how would you like to win a free minivan?" And I said, "I'd love to." And she said, "Well, you just have to sell this Tupperware." And I said, "All right." So I started selling Tupperware when I was like I don't even know if I was legally able to do it, but they let me do this. And this was on the South Shore in Massachusetts. And it was my friend Eric and I, and we would go to these Tupperware meetings with all of these people.
Like
and
all the housewives.
You know, I was the only person there. I was the only guy there. I was the only person my age there, but I loved every minute of it. I learned two things that day. I learned that French onion dip is the most incredible thing in the world. And I also learned about these orange peelers. And they would give us these plastic orange peelers that you would gift a customer if they purchased more than one product.
Okay.
And it was a way to build brand loyalty and higher sales. So that always stuck in my head. And later on, earlier in my career, before I had any stores, before anyone knew or cared about Johnny Cupcakes, I started a thing called Cupperware parties.
Nice.
And I would say if anytime someone commented on my shirt at the mall or wherever, I'd say, "Oh, if you ever want a free shirt, I'll hook you up with one. All you have to do is invite me to your house, your school, or your work. And I'll bring a pop-up shop to you and I'll hook you up with a free shirt or two. And all you have to do is invite your friends over to shop." And I was doing this, I was having great success. I ended up opening my own store shortly after and I stopped doing it. But a couple years ago, I brought it back. And right now, as we're speaking today, there are customers of mine who are selling Johnny Cupcake shirts in other people's businesses across the states.
That's great.
And I give them 30% of whatever they sell. We call them cake dealers, and we teach them how to be event planners, entrepreneurs, and it gives me more time with my family. So we have between 20 and 30 cake dealers around the U.S., and I think this weekend there's going to be a dozen or half a dozen pop-up shops going on without me having to be there, and it's nice. I get to give back, give them the keys to the brand, teach entrepreneurship, find a way to get new customers. Sometimes we give them exclusive shirts. Sometimes we also give them older shirts. Now, instead of me putting shirts on sale all the time, old product is always new to new people.
Mm-hmm. True.
And the cake dealer's job is to introduce the Johnny Cupcakes brand to new people. So when we have some extra shirts online, instead of having a sale every week like a lot of brands, we'll send them to the cake dealers. They might repackage them in mystery packaging, but our old product is always new to new people, and this whole project has been great. We've had ups and downs, but it's for the most part, it's been wonderful.
Sounds like it's given you a little bit of room to breathe. You know, like you said, you don't have to be there. And I think that's something too, like we all are trying to find those things that could be productive for our business and everything, but don't demand the extra time that we just don't have.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm loving it. And I love trying new things.
Definitely like out of the box ideas in such a great way. I love hearing all these just different tactics you've taken over the years. And
me too.
I think this is going to be kind of eye opening for a lot of our listeners. Like it may not be to do the exact same thing as you, but just to kind of
don't do the exact same thing. I've had listeners or attendees of some of my talks come approach me like, you know, a year later and say, oh, you inspired me to start this brand. And they'll give me a t-shirt with like a pastry on it. And I'm I want them to do good. I don't say anything.
Yeah. But that's not the point.
keep at it. So, yes, you're right, Wes. I think people will take inspiration from this. And it really doesn't matter what type of business you're doing. The key things are relationships are important. Your mental sanity is important. And have fun. Go get your hands dirty. It's okay to mess up. Just have fun with it and write down why you messed up. Pretend you have a parent that's asking you about the failure that you just did. You know, what did you learn from pushing Timmy on the basketball court? You know, what did I learn? Okay, now I'm not gonna. You know, I'm going to put myself in other people's shoes and I'm not going to hang out with the wrong kids and I'm going to, I'm going to not be hangry all the time. So, yeah, I think people can take stuff away, Wes. I appreciate that.
Well, without that fear, you know, without that fear of failure, that's a big lesson.
Exactly. Awesome. Nice. Well, thank you so much, Johnny, for coming on with us today. This has been a real sweet treat for me, at least, and I think for all of us listening as well. So see what I did there?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. That's
awesome. So where can people, if people aren't already following you, which they probably are, where can people follow you around online and check out what you're up to?
Yeah, johnnycupcakes.com and at johnnycupcakes on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
I love it, man. Well, thanks again, dude. This has been such a great talk. I can't wait to hear
what the
listeners say. Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
Keep designing and catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.